Hello and welcome once again to Mustard Seed Ministries, Exploring the Word. This time we're going to talk about Romans 12. It'll be our first session in Romans, so we'll call it Romans 12a, a living sacrifice. Paul only spends a few verses here on this concept, but it really predominates all of Romans. It's what Romans, in a sense, is all about, a living sacrifice. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "A person will worship something. Have no doubt of that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will come out. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and our character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming." I think this is what Paul was trying to emphasize here in the first part of Romans 12, that the way we live, whatever we worship, that is what we are becoming, because it's what's inside of us, and what's inside of us comes out. If we would live any way we wanted to, if we just would live without any inhibitions, you know, what would we become? You know, and this is a fictitious character, of course, but if you've listened to Lord of the Rings or seen it, there is a kind of a pathetic creature called Gollum. Now, Gollum started out not as a pathetic creature, but as a probably normal human being. And he was drawn to the ring, of course, which was the signature of evil power. And it took his total concentration. He was enchanted by it, and he was mesmerized by this ring. And what happened? He chose to follow it, to become part of it, to never let it out of his reach. And what happened to him as he did this? He let himself go. I believe he had a choice. I don't think there's any question about it that he had a choice. But he chose to give himself over to this evil power, to this ring. Now, we might call this sin, you know, living in sin. Of course, living in sin is basically somewhat the opposite of a living sacrifice, as we shall see as we go a little further into this session. But what did Gollum end up? He ended up a distorted, slimy creature whose only motivation was to get what he wanted. He didn't worry anymore about right or wrong. There was a conscience inside of him, but it never won out. He had become totally deprived. Now, when we talk about a living sacrifice, that kind of scares me a little bit when I hear the term living sacrifice, because I'm wondering, whoa, what does this mean? I mean, am I going to be never have another joyful, happy moment in my life? Am I going to suffer continuously? Or what's going to happen when I talk about a living sacrifice? Well, some of the things that go with a living sacrifice has to do with the leadership in our hearts. Now, if we have the wrong leadership in our hearts, we're living in sin. We're living according to another standard than God's standard. The way that we are a living sacrifice, it has to do with what's living in our heart. You know, there's two options. There's the flesh and sin, which helps us to have self-gratification, and we have control of things better. Probably less. That's probably the illusion itself. But we think we do. We have more illusions of control when the flesh and sin is operating in our hearts. And we also end up with something else. We end up with an adversarial relationship with God. We cannot have the wrong leadership in our heart and be right with God. And what happens when this happens? Well, we have conflict, because our inner man, our conscience, the thing that God has put there, it is at odds with the leadership, with our flesh, and with sin. It's at odds. It can never be at peace with them, because they have opposite desires and opposite goals. Paul, later on in Galatians, 5:19 tells us a little bit more about what happens when we have leadership that is our flesh, our own desires, fleshly desires, our shallow desires, and sin, when that partnership is really ruling our hearts. He says, these are some of the things that can happen. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think we should take note of that if we have a problem with leadership in our heart. Another thing that happens when we're not a living sacrifice, we lose the purpose and meaning of life. We were created by God to find a great deal of meaning and purpose in life because we were walking with the King of the universe. We were his child, son or daughter. And, you know, it's not enough to, like, save all the whales. Or not that there's anything wrong with that, but inside of us, we want more than that. There's a deeper yearning for more meaning and purpose than a lot of the things that we see out there in our world. It's kind of like two princes. One prince, the father was a very just king, and one prince thought, hey man, I'm pretty cool. I'm the prince. You know, everybody's got to bow down to me. And he was very indulgent. He took advantage of women because of his power, took advantage of situations with finances. He used his power for self-indulgence, you know. And of course, I'm sure he felt like dirt, and he should have, because he was seeking after the wrong goals. He had the wrong leadership in his heart. And there was another one, another prince. And this prince decided that there was more to life than just sensuous things, you know, and desires like this. And he sought to really improve the lot of the kingdom of his subjects. He went out and he listened to them. He got in the dirt with them at times and got his hands dirty. And he fought for them. And you know, he was bloodied for them at times. He was willing to do that because he took what God has given him, that kingdom, and he took it seriously. Now, which one of those would you like to be? Another thing, those who are not a living sacrifice will not be allowed to enter into eternal life. They will spend their eternity in suffering in hell. It is very important that we are a living sacrifice here. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about what that is coming up. But one thing about it, when we're not a living sacrifice, it would appear that we would be free then. But it's just the opposite. If we're not a living sacrifice, we're in bondage. The freedom is in being a living sacrifice. The reason that the Bible talks about sacrifices at all is because the Jewish nation used sacrifices to worship God, in a sense. Now, we had to qualify that because in many ways he was not at all pleased with their sacrifices. But they would sacrifice an animal. They would kill that animal, and the blood of that animal was, and as a metaphor, was to take away their sins. But what was really happening was this here. He was getting tired of a God that they were coming. They would do whatever they wanted to do. They would sin. Then they would come to him, and they would sacrifice, and it's all supposed to be okay again. That's not the purpose of it. What he really wanted was people to confess and repent inside of them, to be right with him inside, and then go sacrifice and show others outwardly that they are obeying God in this way. It had already taken place inwardly. And a living sacrifice might be thought of as Christ's sacrifice, because every time they had a sacrifice, they had to go find another animal and kill it. You know, well, Christ died so that there would be no more of this killing animals to show what has happened in our heart. And Christ, in a sense, became a living sacrifice because it lives on and on and on. It wasn't just a one-time thing. And also, in a sense, we could talk about a living sacrifice being our ability to yield daily our leadership, the leadership of our heart, to the Holy Spirit, and to listen and be actively involved with what He wants in our lives and not what we want. That's new leadership in our heart. Paul said, I die daily. Obviously, he didn't die physically. He died to the flesh and sin that would like to have come back into his heart and taken over the leadership. Let's look quickly at what a living sacrifice is not. It doesn't mean that by our own willpower and resources, we are to live a perfect life. It doesn't mean that we have our backs bent forever by an immense load of perfection, and life is an enormous arena of suffering with no happiness or very little happiness and very little joy. That is not what a living sacrifice is. In fact, one of the great partners, I believe, to a living sacrifice is a living hope. Because as a living sacrifice, we have a living hope. You know, we don't have to walk in a shallow way anymore. We can live with the King of the universe living in our hearts and guiding us and piloting us. It's kind of like a boy and a father who went to a toy store. And the boy had in his mind to get a model of a bike. He wanted a bicycle so bad, and he said, I want a model of a bike. And he went in, and his dad said, well, maybe we should look around. I got some other ideas here. And he said, no, I want the model bike over here. It's over here. I want that. That's what I want. And he had a kind of a fit. And his father said, okay, I'll get you the model bike. But the father had in mind to buy him a bike, a real bike, that day. And the boy missed it because he didn't listen, and he missed what his father was trying to do for him. I think that's the way God is. It's a living hope that comes with this living sacrifice as he lives inside of us. It helps us to give up sensual pursuits and have a meaningful, deep walk with the Son of God. It means yielding up our life, our control of our life to the Holy Spirit. We trust Him, and we have enough faith, which, even though it may be very, very feeble at times, to give it to Him and let Him begin to take responsibility for some of our stuff with our wholehearted participation. That is, we're not a potted plant on the side there. We're working with Him wholeheartedly to allow Him to be able to run our lives in a way that seems good to Him. And we can find in Galatians again what the fruit of the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit is leading us. Now, the thing is, this fruit, it's not really plural, it's fruit. It's one fruit. This is the fruit that the Holy Spirit has. And Christians all have a kind of a similar look to this. They have this similar fruit like this because, why? Because the pilot is the same. And what does Paul say here in Galatians 5:22? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, my friend, is not always an easy thing. There are times when people that walk in the Spirit, when they suffer. I feel that in my life. At times I suffer. But what is the great joy and the great hope of those who are a living sacrifice? It is this, that God is our Father. The King of the universe is truly our Father, and He has the very best in mind for us. He wants us to be the best there is. This doesn't mean indulgent. This means with deep character, with meaning and purpose and love and all these different spirit fruit that we were talking about a few minutes ago. Living in the Spirit is truly an adventure. It's a great adventure with some suffering, definitely, but a lot of joys also, knowing that we are walking with God, knowing that we will have eternal life someday. Theodore Roosevelt gave us kind of an earthly example that kind of hits close to what it's like to walk in the Spirit, I think. Not perfectly, not a perfect match by any stretch, but let me read that to you. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.